Good morning, everybody. The House State Affairs Committee will please come to order. This is St. Patrick's Day. Happy St. Patrick's Day. If you're not wearing green, it might be more difficult to get your bills out today. So we'll see. Call the roll, please.
Representative Kellogg?
Here.
Representative Vasquez?
Here.
Representative Stonehouse?
Here.
Representative Price Tompkins?
Here.
Representative
Calarico?
Here.
Representative Stutz?
Here.
Chair Lynn?
Here. Okay. Again, good morning. We have four bills on today's agenda. HB 259, HB 229, HCR 15, and HB 351. And we'll begin at HB 259. Would the sponsor of that bill please come forward? Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Please identify yourself and whom you represent and walk us through the bill. Are you wearing green?
Unfortunately, no, sir.
Okay. I'll give you a pass.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is John Binder. I'm Deputy Commissioner with Department of Transportation and Public Facilities. I have with me today Mr. Roger Healy, who's Chief Engineer for the Division of Statewide Design and Engineering Services, as well, also with DOT. Purpose of House Bill 259 is to bring Alaska's statutes into compliance with federal law. When right-of-ways are acquired for public transportation purposes, federal law requires that the department compensate property owners for the value of the property and also provide relocation benefits of displaced families, businesses, and farms. Under the federal initiative known as MAP 21, which is Moving Ahead for Progress in the 21st Century from 2012, our funding partners have made it easier to qualify and also increased the maximum relocation assistance that is available to affected parties. Benefits paid to Alaskan families and businesses under this program are eligible for federal participation. Appreciate you hearing the bill this morning, and happy to respond really to any questions or anything you have at this point.
See, any questions so far from the committee? Okay. Would you like to say anything yourself?
To the chair, I believe Mr. Binder has covered our introductions.
I agree.
If you have any questions.
Okay. No questions from the committee. Is anybody online?
Yeah, we have one.
Who's online? It is.
Well, you look at that. If I could ask a question, Mr. Chair.
Yes, please. Vice Chair Keller.
Yeah, to confirm my reading of it, as I see it, this is specifically for a relocation. The reference to the federal U.S. code, which I have not looked at, and it says, you know, in cases specific to relocation, that we have to follow the requirements, you know, and so there's nothing in there, I would assume, that is anything other than benefit forces. There could be no strings, right, in a federal regulation. I would just like your comment on that, if you would.
Sure. Through the chair, Rep. Keller, you're absolutely right. And the bill presented this morning is obviously very short, and really the highlight is it removes the dollar values, which just allows us to be in compliance with the federal law. Last time it was updated, it was 1980s, so a long time. So it's basically just inflation values. And the reason we don't put specific dollar values in there is to prevent having to come back again in the future when those values change again.
Makes sense. Okay, any other questions from the committee? We have one person online. Would you, if you're there, one person, ask them to come online and identify themselves and whom they represent.
Al, are you online, Al?
Yes, I am on.
Give your name and who you represent, please, sir.
Yes, my name is Al Tumani, Sr. I'm a member and leadership chair of NFIB Alaska. I'm here to testify on HB 351.
Thank you very much.
That's the wrong bill.
What, then?
That's the wrong bill. But we're on 259, and he's testifying on 351.
Oh, my gosh. Did you have anything to say on 259?
Well, sir, I don't.
Okay. Well, we'll be getting on the other bill as soon as we can.
Okay. Thank you.
Can we take a brief at ease? A brief at ease?
At ease?
Yeah.
back on the record. Is anybody else in the room who would like to testify on 259 or online, either one? If not, we're going to close public testimony on this. Any discussion from the committee? Mm-hmm. Rather than any of Vasquez.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I see that we have deleted on pages 2 and 3 certain limits. On page 2, the limit right now, which is going to be deleted, is not to exceed 10,000, not to exceed 22,500. What happens right now, because we have those limits in statute, are when individuals or families or businesses are displaced, is the remainder reimbursed through general funds? I mean, it's obvious that, you know, 22,500 or 10,000 doesn't go far.
Where did it come from?
You went ahead and asked.
Through the chair, Representative Vasquez, if we relocate families or businesses or farms, we must ultimately be in compliance with federal law. So this is an eligible expense under the federal program. So it would be the usual match of approximately at least 90% federal funds, depending on whether it's a federal highway project or a federal aviation project.
Did that answer your question?
No, Mr. Chairman.
I may proceed.
No, I'm so sorry, but my question has not been answered, and I realize that we need to be in compliance with federal statutes and regulations,
right,
and that there are limits right now, and that it's a 90% match. I think most of us understand that. What I'm saying is we now have in our statutes limits of 10,000, looking lines 7 through 9 and lines 12 through 14. We've got limits of 10,000, 22,500. What happens when someone obviously incurs expenses way beyond these limits right now?
Through the chair, Representative Vasquez,
Vice Chair
Kelly.
I don't mean to interrupt, but just a reminder, if you state your name before you talk, because there's two guys are testifying, records get all messed up. So if you would.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you for the correction. Speaking, Roger Healy.
Please identify yourself.
Roger Healy, Chief Engineer with the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities. Through the chair, Representative Vasquez, the relocation benefits are set by the federal law. We cannot exceed those. And this is just for the relocation. It's not for the acquisition of the properties.
Any more? Follow-up?
Yes. When was this federal statute enacted? Was it recently updated, or why are we updating our statutes? I'm just curious about this issue.
Again, Roger Healy with DOT. Through the chair, Representative Vasquez, the MAP 21 was the federal highway law passed in July 6, 2012 that included this language that increased the amounts, and that is the relevant federal action that brings us here today.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Healy, so there are limits pursuant to the federal statute. Is that correct?
Through the chair, Representative Vasquez, that is correct.
But, and I see as written, it's kind of nicely written, frankly, on page 1. It says, in accordance with the requirements and limitations, and then it cites the federal statute, which is rather nice, because if it changes down the road, we don't have to go back and change our state statute. So thank you. That is future planning. That's all I have, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Mr. Healy.
Thank you. Anybody else in the committee while we're here? Okay. Any other discussion? If not, I'll entertain a motion.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move House Bill 259, version Jeep Golf Hotel 2709 Alpha, out of committee with attached zero fiscal notes and individual recommendations.
Okay. Any objections? Without objection, the bill passes. Thank you for bringing it to us.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, we're going to go to C-53 now. C-51.
We've got.
Affairs Committee is back on the record. Next bill we're going to consider, which we've heard before, is HB 229. So would the sponsors come forward on that, please? And you're in pretty good shape on this. You're wearing some green there, so that helps. Okay. Representative Keller, do you have an amendment you'd like to move or discuss, or an amendment to an amendment?
Well, Mr. Chair, I just want to say that there's an amendment on the table for discussion, and there's a couple changes, but I would like to bring my staff up to talk about that when that time comes. But I just want to say that we're working with the sponsor on it. They can explain it for themselves however they want, but we've been working and they've been working with us. Everybody's on the same page here. We want to get this done. The bill's very good. We don't want to slow it down again. It just the amendment that I offered is just to build a process to make sure that the legislature still is engaged in dealing with the regulations. And again, I won't put words in the sponsor's mouth, but the indication that I have is that we're on roughly on the same page on that one. We're just trying to get the details worked out.
On the table now for discussion.
That's right.
And so we want to bring your staff up here right now, or do the amendment?
Let's see if the sponsor does.
Okay. Would you introduce yourselves, please? And
thank you, Mr. Chairman and committee members. I am Representative Chenault. I represent the northern half of the Kenai Peninsula.
Tom Wright, staff to the speaker.
I see. Would you like to make any comments?
Mr. Chairman, we're okay with Representative Keller's amendment.
Okay.
I think we still have maybe a few concerns, but we're going to work those out.
Okay. Very good. Any other comments? Let's bring President Keller's staff up here, please. That's what I need, more staff.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, member of the committee. I suppose I better wait for the request for the amendment to be amended before I discuss it.
Mr. Chair, I'd move that we make some amendments to the amendment that's on the table.
Plural, one or two?
Let's hear from the staff. I think it's one. One in concept might be two details. But.
Okay. Let's move the amendment so we can, amendment to the amendment so we can discuss it.
I move the amendment to the amendment, Mr. Chair.
Anybody want to object for discussion?
I'll object.
Thank you. Okay. And you're going to speak to the amendment, right?
Amendment to the amendment. Yes, Mr. Chair. The amendment to the amendment.
Identify yourself.
This is Jim Pound, staff representative of West Keller. The amendment to the amendment deals with a concern that we had the other day on the bills. It basically has to do with Section F, which is on page 2, starting on line 27. The concern was Board of Game, Board of Fish, those organizations, and what effect this amendment would have on delays for making sure that that they could pass their regulations. 2 years ago, we had a bill, House Bill 140, in this body that passed that we also dealt with some of this discussion as well, and we decided to also include the quasi-judicial departments, which includes the Regulatory Commission of Alaska, both the Boards of Fish and Boards of Game, and the Alaska Oil and Gas Conservation Committee Commission, so that the regulations and the process that they go through with their administrative procedures remains intact under the current statute. And that is the only change in the amendment to where we were the other day.
Any questions or discussion from the committee? If not, did you? Reverend Price Tompkins and Representative Calarico.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, there's a lot of statutory citations in here. It's a lengthy amendment. I wonder if it might almost merit sort of a sectional or sort of a walkthrough just to try what each section does.
Okay, Mr. Pound, you respond.
Uh, I haven't changed the, Mr. Chairman, I haven't changed. I'm using the older amendment. Like I said, the only change is that one segment for Board of Fish, just clarifying it. Essentially, the amendment, as we had it written, we started out.
A quick clarifying question, if I may.
Yes, please.
Sure. Just for sake of clarity, which work number are we talking
the about? Amendment, through the chair, the amendment is A5.
Okay.
Now, and as you have to clarify, we're talking about amendment or amendment to the amendment?
The amendment to the amendment that we're working, as I understand it, the document we're working from right now is the A5 amendment.
Mr. Chair?
Reverend Vice Collins?
Yeah, I think I can clarify this. What we're working on, what's on the table, is Amendment 1 to Amendment 2, the original Amendment 2. That is an amendment to amend. And under that, you asked for a description section by section, and we'd already done that for the amendment itself. So if the chair pleases, it may be good to adopt the amendment to the amendment, and then we'll be talking about A5. So the record will be straight. So
We'll probably do that one. We had a couple questions here first.
Mr. Chairman, for that amendment to the amendment, I was going to remove my objection.
Okay. Any objection to that? Okay. Amendment. The objection has been removed. We're now working on, I guess, Amendment 2. Is that correct?
Amendment 1. It's still Amendment 1 as amended.
Yes. Okay. Continue, Mr. Pound.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The beginning section has to deal with title change primarily to cover this amendment to the original piece of legislation. For legislative review, amendment approval, disapproval, and annulment. Just basically spells out what we are intending on doing in the actual amendment, but actually it has to be added to the title of the bill. In the second section where we have delete all material, actually what we're doing is just adding section 320 back in, which is the language having to do with review by the legislature. On section 2, it basically we're just switching back and forth and get the numbers back in proper order.
One.
Down at the bottom of the page, on page 1, under section 2, this authorizes, without question, the jurisdiction of the committee to review proposed regulations. That'll be the jurisdictional commission. In other words, judiciary would take care of judiciary, or education would take care of education, house and social service, so on and so forth, at the discretion of the presiding officers of each house. On page 2, provides a review schedule that it also states that if there's no action taken within 35 days, which is within the normal public comment period, then it is considered the fact that there is no problem with the regulation, and they can proceed under the normal procedure for adopting regulations. In section 4 is the process in which we can disapprove temporarily regulations. It offers opportunities for the committee to go back to the department and say we'd like this amendment. If that takes place, then the process for adoption of the regulation will probably continue on as normal. If not, then the committee can say, no, you don't get to implement this. We're not saying that it's banned, that it's completely disapproved. We're saying that you cannot implement it. You're going to have to hold it until legislative session. At that point in time, the committee, and again, I don't know the logistics will work out on this, but the committee will introduce legislation that says, blah, 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 proposed regulation is not authorized and disapproved. And that's a statute. It's a bill that will go through both houses and be signed or not signed by the governor. It also allows the department to remove the proposal or any kind of amendment that they want to do in order to make it compatible with what people want in the state of Alaska or what the legislature wants. The next section, which starts on page 3, is the grounds for review, making sure that it meets the requirements of statute, legislative intent, and it has to do also with the cost factor of it. We get more into the cost a little bit later on as far as fiscal notes are concerned. Again, we get down into delete all material, and delete has to do with returning Section 320, which is the right to review language for the legislature. The next section on page 4, which is Section 10, the change is down towards the bottom of the page. The department must review any amendments proposed by the legislature. If no action taken during session, the reg will pass the day after the end of session. That's the worst case scenario. If the bill doesn't pass, or if the veto isn't overridden, if there's a veto or whatever, that the reg as written will pass automatically. On the next section down on page, where it says page 5, it is the presiding officer of each house that the regulations will be submitted to. This is to cover the fact that we no longer have the Administrative Regulation Review Committee, which we sponsor, and I both completely agree, it makes complete sense, because it 1 year it's really good and 1 year it does nothing. So we need to get some consistency out of that. Section 12. Basically spells out how new language will be done, and it's done in the same format that we do in the legislature. If it's new language, it'll be underlined, basically, just to make it easier to be able to read, for example, 59 pages of regulations that come out in one fell swoop, and you can at least kind of scan through it and get a basic idea of what direction the department's going in. Fiscal notes, which is Section 13, which is interesting that to me, because years ago, and I do mean years ago, in fact, Senator Terrio was Senator Terrio then, who had the Admin Reg Review Committee. His aide and I worked together on it to get the requirement for the departments to provide fiscal notes. The intent language, which we can find, specifically states we want to know how much it costs the department, the division, and the public. We didn't spell it out. This spells it out that that's what we want. We want, in other words, if that regulation is going to cost Joe $100,000 a year, we want Joe to know it's going to cost him $100,000 a year for that reg to be implemented. And what the department decided was fiscal note means to the department. So what do they get? Zero fiscal notes on every regulation they write. And that's was never the intent for requiring a fiscal note. This basically spells out what the intent is, because I guess it has to be spelled out in order for them to accomplish it. That fiscal note should include information in the information section that explains short-term, long-term effects, and that this is the most cost-effective or the best environmental method in order to accomplish regulations. Again, we change back to the information will be submitted to the presiding officer of each, and that the presiding officer will submit that to the proper committee for jurisdictional review, which is 16 and 17. Section 18, again, we deal with presiding officers, and that they will receive a copy of the regulations in a timely manner. Section 19 is the annul process spelled out, which I had already discussed. However, it means that a committee can tell the department, if there's no agreement between the committee and the department on a proposed amendment, or if it's just believed that the statutory or the regulatory language does not meet the intent of statute and there's no compromise available, the department can say, okay, you don't get to implement this until we take it to the legislature in January. And we'll try to pass a bill to tell you can't implement it. And if we don't, then after the day after session, it's implemented regardless.
Did that do it?
That pretty much does it.
We have Clyde Tompkins?
Yeah, so a point of clarification on the annulment process, Jim. I'm going to try to restate it. Let me know if I'm getting it accurately. So a committee could sort of voice disapproval of a proposed regulation say, education committee on something coming out of the Department of Education. And that regulation is not implemented until the end of the legislative session, which then gives the education committee the opportunity and time to put forth a piece of legislation that would effectively inoculate or nullify that proposed regulation. And if the committee or the legislature fails to actually pass that piece of legislation, that regulation would then go into effect at the adjournment of that session.
Mr. Chair, that's correct. We're not saying that a committee can annul a reg. We are saying that a committee can put a hold on the implementation of the regulation.
Sort of a, this isn't quite the right term, but right of first refusal of, anyway, yeah. Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. President Caller, did you have a question?
No.
Okay, I'll get fine. President Vasquez, then I want to...
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Then I want to get this amendment out of the way, if you're coming.
Mr. Chairman, we just got this lengthy amendment. It is 5 pages, 6 pages, I'm counting, 7 pages, 8 pages. Have very little time to review it. I mean, I have several questions going through these statutes. I like generally the bill, but it's just there's a lot here to review before I can vote on this amendment. I have a question, and it's a 40,000 level question. What about emergency regs, fish and game emergency regs? I don't see them, you know, like I said, I haven't had an opportunity to carefully review the 7 pages of amendments.
To the chair, this is the same amendment we had the other day with only one addition, and the addition is
mm-hmm.
to cover the Board of Game and Board of Fish, as well as RCA, because they are quasi-judicial. If you go to page 3, beginning on line 17, under section H.
For the record, Mr. Pound, we're talking about the amendment or the bill?
Under the amendment.
Okay.
Under the amended amendment.
Okay. And again, what page?
On page 3.
Mm-hmm.
It's section H, which begins on line 17. It covers the organizations that are exempt. And what we have done here is it's the Board of Fisheries, the Board of Game, that's where emergency regulations come from in that department, and then also the quasi-judicial agencies that we have, the state government, which includes the Regulatory Commission of Alaska, Alaska Oil and Gas Commission, Office of Victims' Rights, and the Office of the Ombudsman. And then also it says, and emergency regulations adopted.
Okay, Representative Stutz, excuse me, Vasquez.
Okay, would this also cover, because it's not listed, the Department of Health and Social Services Division of Public Health? We have for example, we have an emergency situation, we have an epidemic. Just for argument's sake, an emergency regulations are issued.
Through the chair, that emergency regulations is included in that section.
So, in other words, Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
This is a catch-all provision. An agency can decide to name their regulation emergency regulations and get into this exception, or is there?
Through the chair, President Backus, there is already existing language in AS 4462 mm-hmm. regarding emergency regulations. If they so decide to extend them out for an extended period of time where they have to go through the regular process. I don't have that number in front of me, and I apologize. But if the Board of Fish...
We need to take an at ease, or you want...
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, at ease. State Affairs Committee come back to order. Representative Vasquez.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, Mr. Pound, the Alaska Statute 44.62.250 is, and it's titled Emergency Regulations. Departments are allowed to issue them, and it's very specific. If they can issue them if it's necessary, quote, necessary for the immediate preservation of the public peace, health, safety, or general welfare. So in those circumstances, they can issue emergency regulations. Thank you for that clarification.
Thank you very much. Representative Stutes?
I would like to remove my objection to Amendment 2, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Without objection? Yeah. Ready to go forward here? Vice Chair Keller.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I would like to call attention to the fact that we got a eight-page, you know, a whatever number of pages here document talking about some fiscal impact of my amendment, but there's no fiscal note, and I respectfully request for the sponsor and that if we could just adopt a zero fiscal note from this committee that will signal our intent to finance. And with your permission, Mr. Chair, I would like to give opportunity to my staff to respond to some of the things that are in the letter, even though we haven't had time to look it over in great detail. But respectfully, I don't think the debate on the different items on the fiscal information letter will do anything but take a lot of time. So if we could just get some things on the record, and then the fiscal question will still be going, right?
And Mr. Pound.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I saw this morning first thing, so I have to, but I haven't had a long time to go through it.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Vasquez.
Mr. Pound, for the record, what document are you referring to?
This is, through the chair of representatives, this is the email. Does it have your name on the top? It has Nancy Manley's name on the top of it. It's about 8 or 9 pages long. It was passed out at the beginning of the committee meeting because we didn't get it until this morning.
And what's the title of the
document? It's...
Talking about this one? You want to know, Nancy's?
It just has Nancy Manley's name on the top of it. I apologize.
Yeah, Liz, it's the Liz Marine.
Okay, yeah, I guess...
We need to take an
Eddie. No, I think we got it.
No.
We got it.
You got it figured out?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I have a different copy. Mine has her name on top, but I apologize.
Yeah, this is...
This is...
Eddie's. Back on the record.
Jim Pound again for Representative Keller. And I'm not going to go through this thing line by line because it has to do with different departments. Essentially, as a quick overview of what I read was there's a concern because we're going to be able to delay a regulation, and according to the departments, that's going to be the end of the world. Well, from my experience of this body, we've been known to introduce legislation as a pre-file before the beginning of the first session, and sometimes it passes and sometimes it doesn't within 2 years, and it wasn't the end of the world. When they introduce a regulation, within 90 days, it's the law of the land, 100% guaranteed. There is no, without a review that this amendment is requiring, they write it, it becomes law. They can't lose on that one. There is one in here that someone actually put a number in, which I also found interesting, which is on page 2, for $164,000. And their statement is that they're going to have to add a regulation specialist to analyze bills. Well, aren't they supposed to already be doing that? That's the whole point of this amendment, is they're not analyzing the legislation to decide whether the reg meets the intent. The RCA section is out because they're not in it anymore, which is fine. I think the primary problem that I see that are coming back of physical impact, the physical impact language that we're requiring them to let people know that this regulation potentially is going to cost them money is information that we tried to accomplish probably 8 or 10 years ago. and they chose to ignore it. So this amendment basically says you're going to do it because we asked you to do it 10 years ago. And, I mean, that's kind of an overview that I see. I agree with the sponsor. This is a zero fiscal note. There'll be zero fiscal impact if they'd already been doing their jobs on regulations.
Mr. Chair,
Representative Keller,
I'd like to move the zero fiscal note that you have in front of you that has been requested by the for the State Affairs Committee to go along with this bill. With the other two fiscal notes, there's one from the Department of Law, and then there's a positive, also a positive fiscal note. So
negative.
Yeah.
Okay, Representative. Okay. I thought you were signaling there.
No, sorry.
Okay. Fine. Without objection? Okay. Okay. That's it. Any other discussion from the sponsor or anybody on the committee?
Mr. Chairman.
Yes. Representative Vasquez.
There's a lot of materials. I guess very deep in is this email, and it's for the record from Natasha McClanahan. Looks like from the governor's office, dated Wednesday, March 16th, but it was sent out very late, 8:33 p.m. last night, and it's addressed to Jim Pound and Nancy Manley, and...
And those are our staff.
Yes.
Staff to me and staff to Representative Keller.
And they CC'd Mr. Darwin Peterson in the governor's office, and Mr. Tom Wright, staff to Speaker Chenault, and it's quite lengthy. I haven't had an opportunity to review this. I don't feel comfortable moving this right this moment in light of the lengthy materials that have been presented. I'm sorry that they have waited until the last minute to submit this to the committee for consideration. I do have a technical comment, and I haven't been able to read all of this, all these materials, but on page 4, line 30, there's a cite to AS 44.62.325. I don't see the existence of that particular statutory provision, and maybe I missed something, but I don't see its existence.
Okay. Any response from the committee on Reverend Vasquez's concern?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Keller.
Yeah, Mr. Chair and Representative Vasquez, I just want to put on the record that this does go to finance, and so, you know, I just would respectfully ask that you consider the, you know, whether we need to delve into that in this committee.
Representative Chairman. I left the intent of this bill, but I feel that we shouldn't relegate our duties to another committee, and that we should do appropriately our job.
I think we're doing our job.
Personally, I don't feel comfortable passing it on until I've had a chance to review all of this.
Mr. Chairman.
Well, fine. But I would like to make the point, you know, we are doing our job.
Well.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Pound.
Representative Vasquez, 325, section 325 is on page 7 of the bill, of the amendment. It's new language.
Okay.
Okay. Any other comments from the committee? Okay. I'd like to bring the sponsor's representative up here, please. I'm reluctant to try to get this out. You know. Okay, would you like to weigh in on the discussion you've been listening to here?
Mr. Chairman, I have nothing further to say.
Okay, fine.
Okay. Right for the record, by the way.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, it's the chair's decision because we do have a concern on the committee, and we want to do as much as we can to honor the wishes of various members of this committee. We're going to hold this bill and bring it back to the table just as soon as we can. With that, thank you for this discussion, and we'll go on next to yes, 351, HB 351. Please introduce yourselves and tell us about this bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Lance Pruitt, representing District 27, East Anchorage.
For the record, Jenna Krause, staff to Representative Pruitt.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Real quick, I'll kind of explain what we, the concept here, and also a couple of the things that we'll be dealing with today. First, you've got in front of you HB 351. HB 351, the thought process.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
State Affairs Committee, please come back to order. See where we leave off here.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Keller.
I would move CS for House Bill 351, version ECHO, is the working document.
Okay. Any objection for discussion?
I'll object.
You just want to adopt it?
I'll object.
Okay. For discussion. Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
Representative Pruitt.
Mr. Chair. To what you've just moved, the CS, and why we have a CS in front of us.
Would you like to explain the portion to the CS, the changes?
Yeah, I'll explain why we have a CS, and then we will talk about the changes, if that's okay, Mr. Chair. The reason we have a CS is because the initial bill that we had in front of us, or the initial bill that we had put forward, I think once you had scheduled to hear it, the Department of Law decided that they might think about come talking to us, and so they came and talked to us 2 days ago. And we tried to address some of their concerns. That's why you have the CS. It's also why the amendment is there.
So there are changes in the CS because of the Department of Law making some comments about it.
We were trying to work with the Department of Law in some of the concerns that they brought forward.
And those concerns are addressed in the CS?
Those are addressed in the CS. They may not necessarily agree with them. I don't want to speak for the Department of Law on that. But anyways, that's some of the changes to make sure that we can address some of those.
Okay, would you like to then address those changes?
Yep.
Do you want to go ahead and
somebody?
I will go through the changes.
Yeah, to identify yourself.
Jenna Krause, staff to Representative Pruitt. The first section is...
And move the microphone a little bit closer and just slow up slow up a little bit.
Okay. Is that better?
Representative Hoskins.
For the record, it was unclear. Can you state your name for the record?
Jenna Krause, staff to Representative Pruitt.
Thank you.
In section one, the changes that we made, the lieutenant governor was added in addition to state agencies. And also in that section, an exemption for emergency regulations.
Added to what?
To section one.
Okay, go ahead.
The next thing that was added was there was an exemption for emergency regulations. And then there was also an exemption added for regulations that were implemented due to a state or federal law being enacted, amended, or repealed. And they have a 120-day window of the adoption of the regulation. And then it was also added in that section that if the new regulation's estimated cost is zero or less than zero. And then in section two, it was added that the lieutenant governor may not accept regulations that do not comply with the first section. And then we also added that the allowance for the lieutenant governor to extend the time for adopting the regulation and implementing a new or amended, for adopting a regulation implementing a new or amended law. And then the third section just clarifies that the law is not retroactive. And then there's no changes to the fourth section.
Thank you. Any question from the committee on what you've heard? If not, Representative Pruitt.
Mr. Chair, Representative Pruitt. So, obviously, what's just been highlighted is the changes. Let me talk about the meat of what's taking place, both in what was initially put out and why these changes were the details of what these changes. The goal here, the idea from this, came from a discussion from our junior senator, Senator Dan Sullivan. He mentioned
Are you addressing the bill itself?
I am. I'm addressing the bill, making sure that you understand the concept of where it came from. The idea was he had put forward a bill on the federal side that was he called the Red Tape Act. The idea that he had got from the UK government as well as the Canadian government, it's this one in, one out idea as it comes to regulations. So every new regulation that is created, there must be another one that is removed. If you create one that has a cost to government, you must make sure that you remove a regulation that either brings the total cost to either a business or to a government entity at either zero or less than the previous cost. And this has been implemented, like I said, in both Canada and the UK. It's been so popular that they're actually looking to move in the UK to removing two regulations for every new regulation. I would like to remind you that these governments are what we would probably consider more of a socialist type government. And even they have recognized the importance of making sure that you do not continue to expand the footprint of government both on in terms of itself as well as its impact on the private sector. What we have done here is try to make sure that we've done exactly that. Every new regulation that is put forward, another regulation must be taken off the books.
Question. The other regulation you take off the book, is that in this same area or department, or could it be any regulation on any subject?
No, thank you. That's a great question. It's within a state agency, Mr. Chair.
Within the agency.
Yes, that is correct. The one that they remove has to have either a zero or equal to cost if the new one, so basically if the new one doesn't have any additional cost, they have to put out one that either has no cost or cost brings down the cost, both to, and I want to make sure when I say cost, I'm talking about government, I'm also talking about private sector. We have indicated there's two separate iterations for both of those, highlighting that HB 140 that was actually mentioned in the earlier presentation, that bill required that we put a cost to any regulation and how it impacts both business and, I believe, municipalities, if I recall that bill correctly. I think that was 2 years ago, two or 3 years ago. Since we have that information available to us, anytime a bill is amended, we now have that information. We are able to determine whether or not a regulation is going to cost a business, so therefore we can understand the impact that it has to those business based on a bill that has been passed, that had been put forward in the past. One of the things the Department of Law brought forward, and Representative Vasquez was talking about this in the previous one, was emergency regulations. How do you deal with emergency regulations? So one of the things that we made sure to do is that we did exempt the emergency regulations. So those are, and of course those are temporary regulations. We also wanted to make sure that we were thinking about future legislatures when they would pass new laws, as well as if there are initiative, good concept, the marijuana initiative, right, created a new board, there was a need for new regulations. We made sure that we dealt with those as well, which is in, this is one of the changes that took place in the CS. Mm-hmm. And that is to give them 120 days to adopt the regulation, to put those forward. And if it takes them longer than 120 days, we've now given the lieutenant governor, who is the holder of all, he files all the regulations, the ability to for them to petition him to extend the time frame that they have to put those regulations forward. So we've tried to deal with new laws that we put forward or initiatives that might create new, either whether it's a new board, new commission, or even a new program. Now, one of the questions that Department of Law brought up is, what if a department wants to create a new program? Well, this is part of the policy call that I'm asking this committee to think about. Should a department create a new program? Or should the legislature create new programs? I would argue that the legislature should be the ones that determine whether or not we want to create new programs within government.
Because I assume there would be some kind of cost involved.
Because this is part of what we're trying to do with this bill on regulation, is I believe this is important to put a limit on how much government and regulations can grow separate from the legislature. If government is going to grow, it should be because of the 60 elected members that reside in both bodies. It should not be because individuals who were not accountable to the people that are very good, hard-working individuals that work within those agencies, determine that they feel that they should expand the scope of government through adding new regulations. It should lie upon the legislature. And so that is why you find that we addressed, we allowed for the provisions of the 120 days on new, when we put new legislation and when we create it. It does not allow for growth because we've said the one in and the one out. And then the amendment that you have, and I want to speak to it only because I know we haven't introduced it, but why we had in discussions as we talked about how there could be loopholes, because one of the challenges has been is defining regulations. There's never been a need to define what a new or an old amending or a new regulation are. There's never been a need because regulations have been unchecked before up until now. And so by putting in their new regulation, the one in, the one out, the conversation and discussions that we found out that there could be a loophole, that they could amend a regulation and essentially create a higher cost and not have to deal with the other side of removing. So the amendment actually deals with that. It says if you amend one, you're also going to have to make sure that you amend another one that brings that cost down. We didn't want to allow for, again, that loophole to be available. The last thing that it also does is to make sure that we did not want to harm if a border commission, who we have said statutorily they must cover their costs, we did not want to get in the way of that. So if the Board of Nursing, through statute, they're supposed to cover their costs, if they feel they need to increase their fees, we didn't want us to get in the way of that. Statutorily, we want all of those many boards and commissions to cover their costs through their fees. So there's an exemption for that. And the last thing that we did exempt is, and this was brought forward by the Department of Law, was the Alaska Oil and Gas Conservation Commission and the Regulatory Commission of Alaska. We did not want to step in the way of their ability to put forth their appropriate regulations. Now, I will highlight one thing that you'll find missing from those exemptions, the Board of Game and the Board of Fish. And some people will ask, why did you do that? The reason I did that is because I feel that most of those regulations come forward by the general public, offers many of those regulations. In many cases, as we sit here in our capacity, we will get people that will come in and ask us to not cut a program or to maybe add a certain program as we deal with the budget. I don't know if you've ever asked anyone, but many times I'll ask people, if I'm able to keep your program, then I would ask you to help me identify areas that I can then offset it. And I don't want to grow government. Help me offset. Some people are able to assist me in that, others are not. I have talked to some people that deal with the Board of Fish, the Board of Game on a regular basis, and I've mentioned, what would you feel about this? If we, now, when you offer up a regulation, when the public offers up a regulation, we're now giving them the ability to be a part of making sure that government doesn't grow beyond its scope. And it would be just as easy for them to say, what regulation should we remove to add the regulation that you're asking for? I think that's probably a reasonable request, as it's so easy for it to just grow, and not look back at what we already have on the books. With that, Mr. Chairman, I hope that I have accurately spoken to all of the details within this. If there are questions, obviously, I'm available to answer those.
I think this is a wonderful concept. It's a problem to shrink government. It's a problem just to keep the same size it is already.
That's, Mr. Chair, we do, that is a challenge that we face constantly.
Okay. And we are here in the legislature to address challenges.
Correct.
Representative Spongholz.
Thank you. Through the chair, Representative Pruitt, as the new person in the room, one of the things that I've been somewhat in awe of recently is the amount of sort of new law that the legislature even works to put in place, and I imagine that there is a considerable amount of regulation then that comes out of that as a matter of sort of practical application to make sure that the departments are actually implementing law that the legislature recommends. So are you suggesting that when the legislature proposes new law, many of which would be laws that you yourself would be in support of, that all of the regulations that then get created to implement would then require offsets in terms of deduction of regulations?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, to answer that,
yes,
the chair.
Please.
Representative Sponholt. And you know, as one of the new people here, within less than a week, you're seeing something that very few people get to see, and that's me presenting on a bill. I don't like to add statute. I really don't. But to answer your question, you'll see under Section 1, B4, we've dealt with that. When we pass a law, that's the exemption. You say the state agency may not adopt, and the governor, lieutenant governor may not accept a new regulation unless that's the word, the regulation implements a state or federal law enacted. So we're dealing with if there's a federal law or a state law that's been enacted. So when we pass a law, they have, and it reads really weird. I had to kind of go over this multiple times. The regulation implements a state or federal law enacted, amended, or repealed within 120 days of the adoption of the regulation. It reads really strange, and we talked with the drafter, and she had gone over multiple ways to put that in place, but that addresses exactly what you highlighted. When we pass a law, when the federal government passes a law that is then applies to us, there are 120 days, and yes, that can add without having to do the offset. If it takes them a longer than 120 days, then the lieutenant, they have the ability to petition the lieutenant governor to give them some more time to put those regulations in place. So it's a very good point, and I think we've tried to address that particular issue in that point there.
And that's happening with the marijuana thing.
Mr. Chair, that's a great example. Marijuana, that was an initiative, that was a new state law, and those regulations had to be put in place, and so they needed a period of time to do it. And there's our ledge drafters had actually highlighted when we originally came to them that would be something that we would have to address, and so that's what we've tried to address with that, I think, effectively.
Thank you. Anybody else in the committee?
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Representative Chris Tompkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Pruitt, on the note of the Board of Game and Board of Fish, I have to admit I'm more familiar with the Board of Fish than I am the Board of Game, but
yeah.
I could see a few scenarios potentially where you've got a sort of problematic management situation, and sort of like the legislature, we react when society changes or technology changes, drones, driverless cars, whatever. We pass laws to sort of make sure that we stay up to date with the changes of society. Fisheries maybe don't change quite as quickly, but occasionally there's a new fishery or a new type of gear or something like that, and the Board of Fish adopts, well, technically the regulations accordingly. What's coming to mind is there's a state water-specific cod fishery that's pretty big now out in the Aleutians, and that didn't exist, I think, 4 years ago or something. So if the Board of Fish needed to act to, you know, pioneer this new fishery, my understanding is, based on what you're saying, they'd have to repeal the same number of regulations for other fisheries, and I just maybe see that being a little problematic, and maybe you could sort of share your thoughts on that.
Through the chair, Representative Chris Tompkins. So I guess the question I would ask you is, for every new regulation that's added by the Department of Fish, Department of Game, do they get rid of old ones? Or do we currently have on the book a lot of regulations that have sat there for years that are ripe for them to go and address? Normally when the department, you know, at those meetings, they will add regulations. I don't know if I'm familiar, and you can correct me because you may understand this, and I'd appreciate that. There's a lot of things that sit on the books that we don't remove. We do it both in terms of our agencies, and I believe our different boards or different commissions do the same thing. And so I would offer that there's probably plenty of opportunity out there in older regulations that they could probably address as something new may come up. Because before now, government has not been as apt to remove the regulations. We'll just add new ones on top of what exists already. So, but that being said, if your familiarity, I mean, please, if I'm wrong, I would ask you to please correct me on that.
If I may.
Any more?
Yeah, a response to some of the
Representative Tompkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think you're right that there are probably a lot of old regs that are, you know, dated and moldy and moribund and have no purpose. Just as with statute, I think of the Speaker's bill from a year ago or 2 years ago that removed the tax for cattle branding or that thing belongs in the waste bin. For the Board of Fish, I'd want to think about it a little bit more or talk with people more familiar with the process than I am, and I feel actually pretty novice comparatively. But I'm almost wondering if sort of every year we get these revisers bills and they go through and they make these sort of technical conforming changes to statutes, if there's sort of this omnibus review of Board of Fish regs and they just sort of throw out everything that fishers that don't exist anymore or gear that doesn't exist anymore or whatever. I mean, there might even be some fish trap regulations still on the books from statehood that possibly obviously have no purpose, and just sort of make things more lean and more mean. I don't know enough. I'm just sort of sharing thoughts as they come, but appreciate it. See what you're saying.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Keller.
Yeah, but good. I'll move amendment number one to the CS. It's labeled 29LS1355 ECHO.1 for this ECHO version. The reason I'm moving it now, Mr. Chair, is that we have somebody on, a testifier online, and that way he'll be able to comment on the amendment. The amendment came from the sponsor, so.
Okay.
And we also have somebody to remove.
Okay. Anybody want to object to the amendment for discussion?
I'll let Jeff, Mr. Chair.
Very good. And I'm going to break in a little bit off topic. What we've been hearing here, we've been struggling with the budget, trying to make cuts, we've done some, but it strikes me that this bill that you're bringing forward is actually it's almost a type of budget bill, because this is going to save a lot of money.
Mr. Chair, I would agree with you on that. I think that this is, for the first time, I think we've actually had a discussion about limiting government beyond the scope of what the legislature does. Regulations right now, like I said, there was struggle in trying to define what exactly a regulation, a new or adopted regulation was, because it's never been needed. We've never needed to understand what that meant. That, to me, was an unchecked growth of government potential. And I feel this is the way that we can say government has hit the ceiling, and it's on the legislature to determine whether or not that ceiling should be raised.
Very fine. Every time you pass a regulation, there's going to be a cost someplace of some amount.
That's right. Whether it's to the government or whether it's to the public, I would agree with you, Mr. Chair.
Very good. Let's go to the amendment that you just...
Yeah, Mr. Chair, there's been an objection, and I would ask you to call on the sponsor to explain the amendment to it.
Yep. Okay. Representative Pruitt.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. And I touched on it earlier, but I will make sure that I cover it again. The amendment was, in the short time we had in trying to address and the highlights of what could potentially be some of the loopholes that would come forward from what we had. The amendment addresses amending regulations. Back to the conversation that we just had about defining what a new or amended regulation was, one of the concerns that kind of came to mind is that to get around making a new, having a new regulation where you have to get rid of an old one, there was the potential that an amendment could be amended, a regulation could be amended, and increase the cost to either government or to the public, and because it was amended, they didn't have to do the corresponding offset. Hmm. So what we did with this amendment is we said, we're going to make sure that if you do amend one, you cannot increase the cost. Of course, there were the other two pieces that I did highlight, and that was that we made sure that the Department of Commerce and the professional licensing, that if they amend a regulation to increase the fees, that they can do that. And then, of course, to exempt the AOGCC and the RCA. So the RCA and the AOGCC have the ability to amend their regulations And if that changes cost to the consumer or government, they're able to do that. We didn't want to get in the way of harming those two particulars, which I think is in line with the feeling of the legislature back when we passed HB 140 several years ago. So that's the amendment, Mr. Chair.
Fine. Any questions or discussion on the amendment? Okay. Would you remove the amendment? Remove the objection?
Mr. Chair, if I could, objector is not in the room, so if we could go to public testimony, and then I'll remember to ask you to get the
amendment. Very good. Okay, who's online?
We have Al from NFIB, and then somebody in the room, Scott.
Yeah. Let's do the phone one first. What's the alphabet amendment on that?
Al from NFIB, National Federation of...
NFIB, will you please come forward?
No, he's online.
Okay, well, stay where you are. Just come on the phone. Okay.
Hello, this is Al Tumani, and I'm a member of the NFIB here in Anchorage and the leadership chair, and we do support this bill. We haven't had a chance to take a look at the amendments, but I don't see from what I've heard. I think there isn't anything that can change other than taking some modifications to tighten up loopholes. We do support this bill. It's something that has been longly needed, and it's not only going to affect businesses, it's going to affect the public, and that's the other element that's awfully important. So we do support the bill and ask that you pass it out as amended.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions? The testifier? Representative Keller.
No question, but I just want to put on the record that NFIB stands for National Federation of Independent Business. You may have said that, Al, but I just want to make sure that we don't use acronyms without spelling them out. Thank you.
Thank very, very good. These are independent businesses. Okay. Any other questions for the testifier? If not, thank you very much, sir. And who's in the room that would like to testify? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Scott Ogan. I am a recovering legislator and recovering bureaucrat. I served 10 years in this body and 10 years in the Department of Natural Resources. So, and welcome to the fray. Sponholz, is that how you pronounce your name?
Right.
Sponholz? Welcome to the fray. You have big shoes to fill, but it's great that you're here. What my comments are, my experience in Department of Natural Resources, I did two things. I did several things. But one of the things I did is I litigated the Bureau of Land Management and their regulations, and we litigated those in the Interior Board of Land Appeals, which is administrative law judge panel that is their own panel, Part of the Interior, that reviews how good of a job the regulators are doing. And I can tell you that I consistently found holes in the ways that BLM interpreted their regulations, and I would hold their feet to the fire and say, that's not what your regulation says. You can't do that. You're doing this contrary to your regulations. And they would get very arrogant about it and, oh, no, we know what our regulations say. And, I go, we're going to be spending a lot of time writing briefs to IBLA because we're going to appeal it. And we won virtually every case, 7 out of 7, that IBLA agreed with the state that the BLM was indeed being arbitrary and capricious. Fast forward to regulations in Department of Natural Resources. A number of years ago, DNR took on a project to try to digitize the process of getting permits. The permit process, all people that want natural resource permits, especially developers that are trying to develop any kind of oil and gas, mining, do timber, any type of resource development, they want a linear process. They want to be able to know when they start jumping through hoop A, and when they finally clear the hurdle at hurdle Z, they're done, and you got to give them a clear and concise regulatory framework and regulatory process to do that. Well, we decided to digitize that. That would really help expedite things. Well, the poor person with the IT person that was tasked with writing the program to do a digital regulatory permitting program went to all three different regions. We have a south, central, south, eastern, and northern region of DNR to map the process of all those things that are in regulation and statute that you would think would be pretty much the same, and that they found out they had three completely different processes for processing the same permits. And it was such a nonlinear process. I've never been able to talk about it before because I worked there, you know, at least not on a record. But it was a very nonlinear process, and they found out they just couldn't digitize it. Now, I think what they went and did was, you know, they retooled and were trying to coordinate everybody to all sing from the same sheet music, and somebody has to be the choir director. But the point is that the regulations are so large and ambiguous and subject to so much interpretation that the same agency in three different offices interpreted those same regulations three different ways. So I have a proposed amendment you might want to consider. I talked to the bill sponsor about it, and you know, maybe sometime in the future or maybe not, but I would propose that you add a new subsection 5 in section 1 section 1B. It says the state agency may not adopt and the lieutenant governor may not accept a new regulation unless, and I would add the words, the regulation is narrowly defined as reasonable and necessary to implement the statute. Because I can tell you from firsthand experience that you know, the legislature delegates the authority to make law to unelected people when you give them the authority to make a regulation, because they have the same force of law, and there's a lot of latitude that people take, and I would want to see that narrowly, some sidebars put on that, and that would give at least the citizens that are out there and the businesses that are out there trying to operate in this regulatory environment, they could point to a portion in the statute that, you know, narrowly defined as reasonable and necessary to implement that statute. I think that would give people in business and citizens that are up against the government on a regulation a little bit more leverage with the court, and Representative Vasquez might be, you know, concur with that or not, but you know, as a former, you know, adjudicator. But anyway, just a suggestion. I really support what you're trying to do with this, and great idea, and thanks for your service here.
Thank you very much. Good to see you back here.
Thank you.
Representative Keller?
Yeah.
And then Representative Stutes.
Just a clarification. Are you suggesting, Scott, to add a subsection 6 after 5?
Yes.
And would you go over the wording slowly one more time?
Okay, I
know it's just a conceptual thing.
It's kind of conceptual, and it probably needs to be wordsmithed by Ledge Legal, but just as a concept, and thank you for pointing out the right, instead of 5, it is, would be 6. Unless, you know, after the words unless in paragraph B, a new subsection 6 that says the regulation is narrowly defined as reasonable and necessary to implement statute. So narrow, reasonable, as necessary, rather than broad and anything we want under our umbrella. We'll just write a regulation because we can, and you know, we're unelected officials. So
this was the concept. Okay, I'm gonna have Reverend Keller comment, and then I'd like to have the sponsor of the bill comment on that.
That's what I would like to get the sponsor's input. That's the only question I would have.
We'll do it. Let me go to Representative Stutes first, and then we'll call the sponsor up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to remove my objection.
Okay. Objection is removed. Thank you. Representative Pruitt.
Just a clarification, Mr. Chair, for the record. That objection was on Amendment Number 1, so Amendment Number 1 is therefore part of the CS.
Thank you.
So that just cleans up the table where we're at.
Good.
Thank you.
Representative Pruitt.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Pruitt. I think the concept is very good. The one thing I'd want to make sure is, and I think the former member mentioned this, is to ensure that Ledge Legal, you know, appropriately made sure that didn't. I don't, the narrowly they may have to define that. I don't know, but I would have to ask. I would have to confirm with Ledge Legal if there was a need for them to define what narrowly meant. But the concept, I actually think is great. Let's make sure that the laws that the regulations are not broad. He hit it on the head, and they truly are addressing the law that we have determined was important enough to place on the book. So I like it, but I would ask that we give Ledge Legal the authority to appropriately write that. Yeah.
I would ask if anybody would like to make a conceptual amendment to this.
Yes, Mr. Chair, I move amendment number 2, a conceptual amendment, and it would be on page 2, line 3, to add a new sub 6 that reads, unless the regulation is narrowly defined as reasonable and necessary, and again, emphasis on the fact that this is conceptual and that the legal services will wordsmith.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Any objection?
No.
There's no objection?
No objection. I like the amendment. I guess we need to get Ledge Legal to...
Well, that's what they do with the conceptual. Okay. Representative Calarico.
I would just suggest for the record that we maybe drop the word unless from that so we don't list it twice in this. It's actually listed right in Section B. So
we'd like to restate, conceptual.
Go ahead.
With the regulation, it would just read the regulation is narrowly defined, so on and so forth.
Right. Okay.
Okay, we got that?
Yep.
Okay. You think? Okay, there's no objection. The conceptual amendment passes. Okay. Is there anybody else to testify on this bill? Anybody else in line for the bill? Anybody?
Chairman, if I could wrap up one comment.
Okay. Any other comments?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you. I really didn't intend to actually have the amendment pass in this committee, so I appreciate. There's always the law of unintended consequences, and that's why I think it's good to have Ledge Legal look at it. So,
we do conceptual amendments all the time.
Right.
Comment.
Vice Chair Keller.
Yeah, just a comment on that. The process, the way it works, is when the conceptual amendment, if we are to act on this bill, if the conceptual amendment is included in the language and it's Nancy finds that it's that something's wrong with it, or the sponsor finds there's something wrong with it, then we'd be getting the bill back. But otherwise, it would just go on. So, if we're happy with the concept as it comes out after we act, then we just kind of keep our mouth shut and the whole thing works. So that's the way I understand it, Mr. Chair.
Me too. At this point, I'd entertain a motion on the bill.
Mr. Chair, I would move the CS for House Bill number 351, ECHO, that's LS 1355 ECHO, as amended with individual recommendations and the attached.
Very good. Thank you for bringing the bill forward. I have no other bills, I believe, for today, but our next meeting is Tuesday, March 22nd. We plan to hear HB 299, PERS, Participation Contractors, and HB 275, Indigenous Peoples Day. Okay. Is there any other business to come before the committee or comments or anything? If not, thank you very much. We are adjourned. Stick around for the paperwork here.